Hi, everybody. It's me again, Shelby, with Hooks, Books, and Crime. Doing things a little bit differently. I'm actually just going to craft as I tell you the story because I really like the way the first two episodes came out. So we're doing this now. I hope you enjoy it. Now, of course, please feel free to like and subscribe. Also, I don't think I mentioned this in my last episode. I am not like this super awesome crocheter. I get my patterns on Etsy because I like to support other people. And yeah, just don't expect like extravagance for me. I just want to talk about true crime and have like a little craft circle vibe. All right, just had to clear that up. So if you have your stuff ready, let's dive right in. Today's story, I realized my last two stories involved sisters, so we're not having like a theme here, that's for sure. So we're, you know, taking a hard left, and we're actually taking a hard left to Florida. So, and this is a work in progress, by the way. So if you hear little tinny sounds, obviously, like, that's crochet hooks and everything. I apologize. I'm trying to figure this shit out. All right. I felt like there is something else I needed to say. But I guess it wasn't important. Or else I'd remember. But all right. So, Christian Aguilar. Christian Aguilar is actually first generation Colombian. Not first generation Colombian. Look at me, already messing up. No, he is first generation American. His father actually came to America in 1987 to find a better life for his family and be able to provide a better life. He moves his wife over, and his son, Christian, is born shortly after in 1993. And then Christian's little brother, Alex, comes a few years later. They go ahead and settle roots in Miami, mainly because Miami does have a very large Hispanic and Latin American culture there. So they're able to find a lot of community there, people who speak the same language and people who can help guide them on their new path here. And growing up, Christian is a bright kid. He seems to just have come from a good family, honestly. Hardworking family. Family that loves each other. They seem very close-knit. And Christian actually goes to a middle school. And at that middle school, he actually makes a lot of lifetime friends. And people don't tell you how important that is when you're in high school and middle school. They don't tell you that a lot of the times, those friends that you make there are, if you make like quality friendships, those are going to be the friendships that can really last you a lifetime. Or, you know, you'll grow with into adulthood. It's not stressed enough. I think sometimes people try to like preach that, why does it matter? It's not going to matter when you get out of high school. The friendships actually do matter. The popularity and shit like that, nobody cares about that stuff when you get older. And if you still care about it, you need to move on. But the friendships, the quality friendships, most definitely matter. They do make a difference. And Christian seems to really find some. So he, you know, does well in school. And he actually, in 2012, he makes his way down to Gainesville. Well, you know what? I don't know if that's down or up, to be honest. I've never been to Florida and I didn't look at a map. So it could either be down Florida or further. I want to say he went up to Gainesville. I have a feeling it's not like way at the bottom, but I could be very wrong. Anyway. He goes to the University of Florida, which is a college that is actually supposedly it's actually pretty hard to get into. But, you know, it's kind of a, you know, hard to get into. So you have some bragging rights there, but it's also very well known for football. They've had, you know, a lot of big names come through there, like Tim Tebow, and of course, the notorious Aaron Hernandez is from there. But I think Aaron Hernandez graduated like 2009, I believe. So him and Christian weren't there at the same time. But anyway, while Christian's there, he's actually studying biomechanical. He's studying to become a biomechanical engineer because he wants to help people, you know, and that leads to prosthetics and things along those lines, which fucking great. Good for him. And I feel like that already just tells you what kind of man we're talking about. I want to say boy just because you don't realize that at 19, you're still a baby. You really are. Nobody tells you that either. You think you're so grown at 19. It's like life really is just starting. So, Christian, he's in Gainesville studying for school. And of course, he's struggling a little bit like a lot of freshmen. You know, nothing too crazy. But he does have support. His actually his best friend, Pedro Bravo, is there. And his girlfriend, Erica. But they don't go to University of Florida. They actually go to Santa Fe College, which is in Gainesville. And they're not very far from each other either. So some of his community got to come with him, which is awesome. But on September 20th, 2012, after class, Christian was supposed to meet up with Erica, and he doesn't show up. Not only does he not show up, he doesn't call her. He's not answering his phone. And this is very unlike him. So immediately, red flags up for Erica. Something's wrong. And she's very concerned. But at the same time, you know, she doesn't know. Maybe he's behind on homework. Maybe, like I said, he struggled a little bit. Maybe he's just having a hard day. She gives him some space after calling his roommate and his best friend, who's nobody's seen him either. She goes to bed. However, the next morning, when she wakes up, Christian hasn't called her back. She has nothing from Christian. She calls the roommate again. Christian never came home. And then she calls the best friend. Best friend doesn't know where he is either. As his best friend did see him that day, but he, I think he said like he left him like around 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. So from that time on, nobody knows where Christian is. Nobody knows what happened to him. Nothing. So then, after the fact that Christian never came home, that's when Erica takes it upon herself to call his parents. She calls his father Carlos. And she asks him, have y'all spoken to Christian? And he's just like, no. Which, I mean, I don't even think you have to be a parent to already be concerned when you get that kind of phone call. That's for sure. I don't think anybody ever wants that phone call for a loved one. She tells the Carlos that Christian didn't go home. The roommate hasn't seen him. She hasn't heard from him. Nobody knows where Christian is. And, I mean, God bless him. Christian's dad wasn't like, oh, well, you know, he didn't blow this shit off. Christian's dad calls his wife, tells her what's up. They're driving to Gainesville. Just right there. No. He doesn't play about his kids. Which I love, because I think some parents can be a little like, oh, you know. Not that they don't care. I think it's denial. You want to believe that it's almost like Occam's razor. Occam's razor? Yeah, Occam's razor. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. Simplest answer is usually the right one. So you want to automatically assume that he's not missing. Nothing's wrong. So he's just oversleeping, or he stayed out somewhere and didn't tell anybody. But Christian's parents, nope. They're not playing those games. They're not playing those little DeLulu things. Nope. They head straight to Gainesville. He knows something's wrong. So, as his parents are driving down to Gainesville, or up, I need to stop saying that because I don't even know what direction it's in. So, as they're driving to Gainesville, Erica and Christian's best friend, Pedro, they actually go to the police and report him missing at this point. And, you know, they're both, naturally, you know, they're both questioned. Girlfriend's got to be questioned. Last person to see the person alive always has to be questioned as well. So, you know, just routine things. And, you know, Erica sticks to her story that Christian never, you know, he didn't meet up with her. Didn't go home. Roommate hasn't seen him. And Pedro sticks the same thing as well, that, you know, he, so according to Pedro, sorry, I'm saying it'd help if I give you the details since Pedro saw him. According to Pedro, he picked him up and they went to Best Buy, and they went to Best Buy to pick up the new Kanye West album. And really, I should have looked up without which album this is. I have a feeling this is the album with Runaway on it. No, that was too wrong. Those closer to 2009. I guess that would be the album with like Blood on the Leaves. I love that damn song. The song goes hard. I'm not like a super huge Kanye fan or rap fan, but goddamn, that song fucking goes hard for all. So, anywho. And this is 2012, so it's still normal to buy CDs. And so what do you do when you buy a new CD with your friend? You drive around and bump it, obviously. So that's what they did. They drove around for a while. And then Pedro says that Christian had him drop him off at a random location. And that he, since he's not too familiar with the area, since they hadn't been there very long, he's not too familiar with the area. But after that, he didn't see him. He hadn't seen or heard from him since. Well, Pedro, everybody's a little concerned about the random place. Why would you drop your friend off in a random place? That's so weird. I don't care if it was daylight. Like, why are we here? Who are you meeting out here? I'd have questions. I know that. And I don't think it's just because, like, oh, she's a girl. No, I think a lot of people would have questions. Why am I dropping you off here? Who do you know here? Are you on drugs? Shit like that. Like, dude, what's up? But Pedro just lets him go on his way. And, you know, now we're here. Where's Pedro? So then the campus police put out an alert. And it goes out, which I love this. I love that it goes out to all the students to, you know, have a lookout for this student. There's also a student network on the college. So they try to see, like, when the last time he logged in is, if he logged in that day. He hadn't. And then they start checking, you know, campus cameras. And, you know, they don't find anything, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he was never on campus. There's so many kids. And there's, you can't have a camera in each and every place. You know, it's a little unrealistic, just cost effective. And I don't know, it's just too many cameras to look at that point, I would think. But they don't find them on anything. And then, oh my God, I hate this fucking yarn. Ugh, I love it and I hate it. But cameras, yes. So they don't find him on the cameras. And what's even cooler is, so when that student alert goes out to all the students to let them know someone's missing, one of the students who actually handles, I believe it's called the Alligator article or something, it's the school paper, he sees it and basically tells everybody, like, no, this needs to go out on today's article. It can't wait until tomorrow. Somebody could be in trouble. Love that. Definitely not something that could wait. So they get it out. And then the student government students, I believe she was the editor-in-chief. She's actually from the same area as him. So when she sees this, she also, here we go. Oh, good. She missed the camera. Thank God. I need to make sure this is still recording. Yes. But, sorry, my cat came and disturbed me and she likes to push it. So, I'm so sorry, you can't get this. She's from the same area, so she feels a very personal connection to this, to Christian. You know, first generation, there's kind of a lot of, not kind of, there's definitely some pressure applied to you. Because, you know, your parents, it's not like your ancestors from, you know, 100 years ago came here in search of a better life. No, this happened recently. you were only born here because of that sacrifice. That's a lot of pressure. So she relates to that. And she starts, her and the other members of the student government body, they start finding ways to put together searches, flyers. They start wanting to be involved and be active immediately, which is fucking awesome. I think that's so cool. I can't imagine how much the family appreciated that. That's for sure. And I hope they know just how wonderful it is that they took those measures on their own. Very adult of you. Not even that. I'd say that, but then I don't even think some adults would do that, to be honest. So, as they're looking for Christian, you know, searches are coming. Christian's parents finally show up. And they start questioning kids, putting up flyers. Everybody starts looking for Christian, but unfortunately, there's like no sign of him. It's like he up and vanished. It's terrible, really. And then, you know, this goes on into the next day. They don't know where he is. But as, you know, people are searching for Christian and checking cameras and everything, officers are retracing Pedro's and Erica's steps and verifying their stories as well. Erica's stuff checks out, you know, perfectly. Her shit is crystal clear. She did exactly what she said she did, and nobody is saying otherwise, and there's no evidence that something else happened. But with Pedro, there's some fishy things with Pedro. Some things just aren't lining up. So, Pedro tells them that, you know, he dropped Christian off and just went home and spent the night in. But when they, believe they searched his car because Christian had been in the car the day he went missing. Makes sense to check it. You know, nothing weird there. They check Pedro's car, and they find a receipt that Pedro went to McDonald's at 1 a.m. the night that Christian went missing. So that's already suspicious because you're telling everybody that you stayed in, but you went out, or you were out. And not only were you out, it's not like you were out like at 8 o'clock, you're out at 1 a.m. So that's a little like, that's concerning. And then other things don't add up either. Like where he dropped Christian off just doesn't make sense. Especially because where they are, or where they were, because they are able to corroborate that they were at Best Buy. They are able to corroborate that. Because Best Buy has cameras. But what they don't understand is, so if you're way over here, why would y'all end up way on the other end? And that's what police are trying to work out and get Pedro to talk. And he's like, well, we were just driving around. But I think we can all agree that it's just very strange that you would go in the complete opposite direction that you know you and your friend go to or stay, and you just let your friend get out. It's not like you were down the street from his house or an area that you know that both of you are familiar with. This is in a whole other area of town, and according to the police, this is actually considered like the bad side of town. A lot of drug dealers, a lot of crime occurs here. Not that they expect Pedro to know, but again, it's just odd that he would be so far away from what he knows. I need to grab a better. Let's see if this works because that damn darning needle was pissing me off. Oh my god. Moment of truth here. Stuff's going downstairs. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so Petra's story's already like, it's a little funky. They don't like it. He's giving bad vibes. So then, when the police are looking into things. And because of the vague area that Pedro gave, they have to look literally anywhere and everywhere with cameras. And the thing is, no matter what they find or pull, there's no evidence that even Pedro's car was in the area. They can't find anything. It's almost as if they were never over there at all. So, police start to dig more. And at this point, we're, a few days in, there's still no sign of Pedro. Why am I saying Pedro? Oh my God, there's still no sign of Christian. And the police are starting to get a little more concerned for his safety, and they're starting to crack down more on the holes in Pedro's story. For example, Pedro had said, I'm sorry, forget what I'm saying, but yeah, Pedro's just, he's got a lot of holes in his story. So as they keep searching, they actually get a warrant, especially because of Pedro's, they find more holes in his story that just don't make sense, especially because they check his phone log, because they basically decide, since he doesn't know the area, okay, well, let us use your phone to see exactly what area you were in. And, lo and behold, unsurprisingly, he wasn't in the area that he said he was and that he dropped Christian off in. He wasn't there. So with that, they get a warrant and they start searching Pedro's. They look further into his car. And at this point, Pedro's also changed his stories a few times, or his story a few times. Yeah, I say stories because he's had multiple. And then it turns into, first it's just that Christian asked him to drop him off. And then it turns into Christian and him got in an argument. And then it turns into, well, I beat up Christian and then I just left him there. It's just getting worse and worse. I mean, he's doing himself no favors here and changing his story and just the stories that he's telling. It's just not good. Well, then, the police, so because of this, they start, looking into his stuff, start trying to find more information about Pedro. And they, like I said, they pull his phone records and they see there's like time missing. There's lapses in time that are just unaccounted for, where the phone just drops off. Because there's no sign, nobody knows where Christian's phone is either. And there's also, the real puzzling point was that, so Christian, not Christian, Pedro never mentioned that him and Christian went to Walmart. And in the phone records, it shows that Christian and Pedro were at Walmart for like 2 hours. Who goes to Walmart for 2 hours? I mean, if you do, I'm not saying anything, but I mean, these are also teenagers. They don't have kids that they have a bunch of stuff to shop for, or a bunch of people to stop for. You know what I mean? And they're in a college town. I'm sure there's way better stuff to do than just walk around Walmart. Along with this, when they're searching his car, they find a Gatorade bottle that has residue of sleeping pills. I can't remember the name of the agent that's in there. It starts with a D. I'm not a scientist, nor am I a pharmacist. I don't remember the name, so don't ask me. And then they also find like a little piece of blood. And this piece of blood also has, can't remember what it is, but it basically lets them know that this was coughed up from Christian's lungs. It's not like he was bleeding, from Pedro breaking his nose or busting his nose when he hit him or anything. No, this came from his lungs. And that, ugh. I just think of like all the old-timey movies where they have consumption, like, Doc Holliday. That's what I'm picturing from Tombstone. Ugh. Like, poor Christian. And I mean, how are you gonna explain that away? Sleeping pills and blood from inside someone's lungs. Like, it's not looking good for you, Pedro. I'm just letting you know. Like, dude. So, as they find more, they start subpoenaing for more stuff. So then they start searching. Well, even at that, let's go back to the phone pings real quick. As they're pinging the phones and everything, they see that, again, there's all these weird time lapses in it, and they're kind of confused by that. And they see, like, they're at Walmart for 2 hours, then they're driving out to the middle of nowhere, nowhere near where either one of them live. Nowhere near their colleges, nowhere near anything. And literally, Pedro's phone is like online, offline, online, offline. And they're confused with this activity. They're like, well, what the hell's going on with his phone? Like, why is it acting like that? And then, I didn't even know, like, you could do this. When they check the battery's records, they're able to find out that Pedro had been turning his phone on and off of airplane mode. I guess thinking like that it wouldn't be detectable or they wouldn't be able to trace it on airplane mode. I don't know. I really don't know what the purpose or the thought process was of turning it on and off. But that's what he did, and that's what they could see. So, again, not looking good for you, Pedro. And then, as police are looking more in that area or where they're seeing him peeing, they're pulling cameras. And they pull a camera. They just so happen to pull a camera from a car wash. And there's Pedro at 2 in the morning at a self-serve car wash washing his car. No Christian anywhere near him. No sign of Christian. And so that's when, that's when they know, like, for sure, they're investigating a homicide at this point. This is no longer a missing person. So, and while all this is going on, it's been like 2 weeks. Nobody's found Christian yet. Why did I say Cameron? Nobody's found Christian yet. His family is still there. I mean, an apparent, like, of course, according to his father was so dedicated to finding his son that he really wasn't thinking about anything else. I mean, he had bills defaulting and late payments on things because that was the last thing on his mind. And you know what? The idea of people expecting you, and I get that the companies don't know, I'm just saying this. If anybody who knows, like if you're dealing with like a missing child, even a sick child, if people expect you just to like still be able to keep up with everything while something so tragic and terrifying is going on, that's just ridiculous, honestly. It's just, I don't think I know I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I gotta pay my mortgage or I gotta pay rent or I gotta pay a credit card. I wouldn't be thinking of that shit if one of my kids was missing. Nope. It's the last thing on my mind. Like, charge it off at that point. I don't care. So, they're still looking for Christian, and the police are digging deeper into Pedro. And then they get a subpoena for Pedro's backpack. In Pedro's apartment, they find Pedro's journal. Pedro's a weird dude. Let's start there. Pedro is also not a good friend. Pedro, was also obsessive. Inside this journal, they find love letters and just this huge obsession with Christian's girlfriend, Erica. So we find our motive. Apparently, Erica and Pedro dated back in high school. Because remember, they all went to high school together. Erica, Pedro, and Christian. However, Erica and Christian reconnected after high school. Erica was with Pedro most of her high school years. And then she broke up with him because, according to her, he would, like, forget her and just... And when I say forget her, I mean, like, oh, he would just leave her... Like, he would leave her on red or some shit like that. Like, no, apparently this fucking asshole would, like, go to the mall with her and just leave without her. So, you know, obviously, I would hope nobody expected her to stay in that relationship. Good grief. Yikes. Who does that, though? What an asshole. God. That's, like, Jesus, could you get a bigger red flag with that kid? And then when she breaks up with him, oh, now he cares. And now he wants to win her back. And now he wants to be with her. And Erica's just like, no, not having it. She spends time on her own. And then, like I said, she reconnects with Christian. And I'm not really going to get into the whole thing of like, well, that's his best friend. And it's his best friend's ex-girlfriend. Because it does seem like they were together for like over a year. And in high school, you know, it's a big deal. Being in a relationship for over a year, you know. Time still doesn't go by as fast at that age. But, you know. Regardless, she reconnects with Christian. They start a relationship. And they move down to Miami. They're not living together, though. You know, she has her apartment for her college. And he has his. Which, good for them for setting those kind of boundaries, because that would only really only complicate their relationship at that age. You don't need to be living together that young. You really don't. So they find his obsession with Erica, all these love letters. And basically, Pedro's whole plan is set out on that journal that basically... To get Erica back, all he has to do is get rid of Christian. Not get a new personality. No, of course not. Get rid of the boyfriend. Then she'll just forget all the shit I did and take me back. Like, dude, what a loser. And a creep. Like, ugh. Ladies, raise better sons. And you know, I say that, but then you know what? You can try as hard as you want, and sometimes you still end up with a bad nut. In this case, Pedro's a bad nut. So, when police go ahead and interview Erica again and question her about her relationship with Pedro, you know, she's honest about it. She tells him that, you know, again, they dated in high school. How she broke up with him just because of how he was treating her, and it was like she didn't like the way she felt. She didn't like the way he made her feel, and she just didn't want to deal with it. And good for her, because I feel like at that age, a lot of us girls don't know any better, and you think that it's normal, or you think like if it isn't like dramatic shit like that, that the relationship's not weird, real. It's weird shit like that that gets, you know, people in trouble. I have no doubt that guys, too, will, like, try to, you know, comfort themselves and make them think, like, you know, that behavior is normal. And it's not. It's not. And you don't have to put up with it. You really don't. So she breaks up with him, and then she tells him that they didn't even know that Pedro was going to be moving down to Gainesville. Or, again, down. I don't know. They didn't know he was going to be going to Gainesville, too. Because apparently, Pedro, I'm guessing he was a bright boy, he actually had a full ride scholarship to the University of Miami. But he just, you know, didn't give a shit about that because Erica was in Gainesville with Christian. And that apparently was more important to him. So he just showed up. They didn't expect him to be there. And apparently they were like a little thrown off with it. But he actually sold them on the idea that he was over it. He just wants to be friends. He, you know, he's happy to have both of them back in his life. And they're both like, great, cool, you know. Again, they've all known each other since middle school. And they want to hang on to that friendship. And you can't blame them for it. They didn't know his intentions. And you don't think of stuff like that, especially if, yeah, he left her at a fucking mall and shit. But, I mean, unless you see him torturing animals and shit or lighting things on fire, you don't think that he's capable of such things. You don't. So, after seeing all this, oh, and also, I mean, they find Christian's backpack in Pedro's dorm. They go ahead and confront Pedro. They confront him with everything they have. And as it is, Pedro was already actually being charged with poisoning because of what they found in the Gatorade. They knew he gave that to Christian. But they just didn't have any proof that Christian was dead or that he had the intention of killing Christian. Until they find his journal and they find Christian's backpack. And then they're like, nope, definitely upgrading these charges. So while all this is happening with Pedro, they still can't find Christian. And finally, after 22 days of not knowing where Christian is, mass searches, you know, students were showing up to help with the search. Other law enforcement departments were showing up. There were a lot of people coming to help Christian's family out just to find this kid. They're searching high and low in the area that the phone pinged. And one day, again, 22 days after he went missing, two men are out in the woods. I believe they're there to cut down some jasmine, which I didn't even know like grew naturally in Florida. Didn't know that. So they're there cutting down jasmine and they start to smell something. As they say, it smells like death. And so I'm from the country, so I know what they mean by that, and it's a foul fucking smell. It smells awful. So they smell that, and that's when they come out. They come upon a shallow grave, and that is where they find the body of Christian Aguilar. They call the police, and the saddest part is, so Christian's father Carlos gets a phone call. And it's not the police, it's the fucking news calling to let them know that a body's been found. I don't blame this on the police. Because I'm sure it's a sensitive thing because you don't want to tell them they found a body because they could be wrong and it could be someone else. But you also don't want them to find out through someone else, and that's exactly what happened here. They found out through the news, so shame on that fucking person, whoever called, because, like, I know that's how they make their money and everything, but it's a kid, you know? And I know he's 19, but he's a fucking kid. And you called his father. So then Carlos has to call the police and ask. And that's when they tell him that, yes, they did find his body. And, they actually show him a picture of this what they found. And you know those things where it's like, it's not graphic. It's something very minimal, but it just says a lot. In this picture is a picture of, again, like a shallow gravesite. And Christian's shoe just laying outside of it. That's what they show his father, Carlos. And his father, Carlos, just breaks down. You know? Pedro is actually charged with 9 different counts, including murder, poisoning, and kidnapping. And what they think, or what happened, is, it could be according to Pedro, is they went to Best Buy. And that was the other thing. They actually found a receipt in Pedro's car. I can't remember if it was his car or his apartment. I'm pretty sure it was his car. Where he was shopping at Walmart. And I swear to God, that poor cashier, honestly. I'm sure she saw that on the news and was like, oh my God, I know exactly when that happened. Because this motherfucker literally bought in one purchase at one time altogether. He bought like the serial killer fucking starter kit. He bought a shovel, duct tape, and sleeping pills. I feel like you shouldn't even be allowed to buy those three things without like some kind of report. I mean, it's like, you know, at the bank, if you withdraw over $10,000, that you have to do a report called a CTR, which is a currency transaction report. I feel like cashiers should have some shit like that. Like, oh, you're buying this shovel and duct tape and sleeping pills. Can I get your ID, please? It's just a thing we have. We're doing a survey for location purposes. Like, don't you think, like, shouldn't that just be something that, like, that's fucking question, like, you know, you give every cashier just a little teeny little red flag so they can wave it when they feel safe. Like, oh, I got a killer over here. I'm just saying, like, that's, he bought all this all at one time. So, yeah, according to Pedro, he picked up Christian. They went to Best Buy to buy the CD. They drove around. And Pedro dosed Christian's Gatorade with sleeping pills. Parked at Walmart so Christian could drink it. Waited till he passed out. Then this motherfucker duct tapes his face and suffocates him, basically. Takes him to the woods and buries him. And I guess expected to come home, freak out with Erica, bond with it over Erica, and then, I don't know, marry her. Fucking weirdo. Get your own girlfriend, loser. And yeah. So he's actually found guilty of all 9 charges, and he is sentenced to life without parole. Good on you, Florida. Too bad he couldn't do that shit with Casey Anthony. Just saying. We'll never understand that. That bitch clearly killed her daughter. Anywho. So, Pedro's now in prison. And, you know, Christian's parents, the sad thing about Christian's family is finding the body and finding answers is only half the battle. Because of all the court dates and everything that come into play after. That just sounds so awful. You still have to hear all this. You still have to be present for everything. You have to hear them try to, you have to hear like the defense make excuses as to how it wasn't this person or how maybe the victim started it and brought this on themselves. Like, I don't know what's worse. Well, obviously the death is worse, but you would think somebody's, people who've already suffered enough wouldn't need to do that. But, you know, due process, which, yeah, it's fair, but sucks at the same time. Christian's family actually starts the, oh my God, I had the name. It's the Christian Aguilar Foundation, or Search and Rescue Foundation. And they actually now, because search and rescue dogs were active in Christian's search, Christian's father, Carlos, now has his own dogs, and they participate in search and rescues. And of course, not every search and rescue is going to be successful, but he has participated in some that have found success. Which I really love that. I love that. I love stories like that. So, that. And Erica, I don't know what became of Erica, but I'm sure it's not easy to accept that your boyfriend's best friend murdered him because he couldn't get over you. And, you know, it's not her fault. It's really not. This is Pedro's fucking fault. Pedro's fault for being a shitty boyfriend. Pedro's fault for being weird. And Pedro's fault for not just being able to accept what's going on. But, I mean, when you look at his pictures, he's got some Joker vibes going on, I'm not gonna lie. He looks creepy. I'm surprised that didn't scare her away. It's like he's a good-looking kid, but at the same time, it's the eyes. They're creepy. And that is the story of Christian Aguilar. So, if you like our little craft and story time, or our little craft circles, please like and subscribe. The pattern for what I'm making, which is, I didn't weave in the ends. It looks silly, but because I'm trying to make my daughter like a unicorn snuggly. She's, honestly, she's too old for one, but she's so clingy and literally has to hold on to like your shirt or something when she sleeps sometimes. So since I can't carry her 24/7, I'm hoping this will work. Maybe if I like rub some of her mirror and her dad's soap on it, I don't know. But yeah, it's just to, you know, be able to get some things done around the house sometimes and everything. But I thank you for joining me. Of course, the pattern and yarn that I used will be in the show notes, and I will catch you on the next one. Bye, everybody.